Thank you, Brother Darren. You know, good morning. I want to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beautiful day in the house of the Lord. You know, beautiful, little chilly, but it's a beautiful day. Beautiful day to be here to praise our God. You know, I come to you with joy and praise to our Heavenly Father for the blessings in my life. You know, I humble myself to the Lord for His guidance in my ministry. You know, He has placed the desire in my heart to preach His word, preach the truth of the gospel. And, you know, today is Veterans Day. You know, this morning, I always considered, you know, the Monday after wherever's closest, I think, is Veterans Day. So Becky this morning said, you know, today, is today Veterans Day? And I said, oh, no, it's tomorrow. And then had the news and it said, today is Veterans Day. You know, so I want to thank all those veterans, all those that have served our country. I'd like actually those that have, all the veterans, please stand. You know, and we want to thank you. We want to honor you. You know, thank you so much. You know, God has blessed you throughout, you know, your journey. And we thank you and we honor you this day, you know, and so thank you very much. This morning, you know, I said, oh, it's Veterans Day. I didn't even think of it. You know, I knew of it. I've known, you know, the last week that it was going to be Veterans Day. But I'm like, didn't know Sunday was Veterans Day. And I'm like, you know, I should have prepared, you know, a sermon for Veterans Day. And, but when I thought of my topic, it's the perfect one. God gave me the right topic. And, you know, I'd like to start. You don't have to turn to this because you're going to all know my reading. You know it by heart. But it's from Matthew 6. And Matthew 6, and I'm going to start with 9. And it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we all know that. We all know that Jesus, these are words of Jesus that he said, you know, we should pray in this manner. You know, and my thought is, I'm going to focus this morning on verse 13. And verse 13 says, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And when we say our prayers, I know I'm guilty of, I pray for the sick. Not guilty. We need to pray for the sick. But I'm guilty of leaving things out, leaving something out. And it's very important. You know, we pray for the sick. We pray for our families. We thank God for the blessings in our lives. We ask Him for forgiveness of our sins. But do we, every day, the first thing, do we ask Him for that guidance in our life? Do we say, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil? You know, we ask for things, we thank Him for things, but do we actually say, please guide us, and that we won't be led into temptation, that we will be delivered from evil? And, you know, it's so important, you know, to do that, you know, that God will lead us, that He will guide us in our lives. You know, we need to constantly seek God, asking Him to help us and guide us. Life is full of temptations. You know, everywhere we turn in the world, life is full of temptations. The devil is trying to tempt and entice us to do the wrong thing. You know, I looked up the definition of temptation. And one of the things it said, a desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. It says, a thing or course of action that attracts or tempts someone. And the tempting of Jesus by the devil. You know, Jesus was tempted. You know, what did he do? You know, so one of the greatest challenges of living our Christian life is dealing with temptation. You know, in James chapter 1, we find helpful words for the Christian. We find a promise to endure temptations, a caution not to wrongfully question the source of those temptations, and an understanding of how sin develops. You know, so I'm going to turn to James 1. And I'm going to start with verse 12. So James 1, verse 12. And it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, that the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, the scriptures show us that we can overcome sin and temptation. God helps us to control our desire by providing his word to renew our minds. God helps us to limit the opportunities through his wisdom as we pray for decisions, for directions in our lives. God helps us to exercise self-control over our actions through his strengthening spirit. God helps us to obtain forgiveness the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You know, so how could anyone say that God would tempt us with sin? You know, he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And in 1 Corinthians 10, and it's one verse there, 1 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to read verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, it'd be good if there was no temptations, nothing. We could just live our lives and just follow God's commandments and do the things that are right. But the world is full of temptations in our lives. I found a couple of little stories. And the first one is about a little boy. And this little boy was in a grocery store. And he's sitting there, and he's near a box of peanut butter cookies. So the storekeeper sees him sitting by this box of open cookies. And he says, now, young man, as he approached the boy, what are you up to? And the little boy said, nothing. And the man said, nothing? Well, it looks to me like you're trying to take a cookie. And the boy replied, you're wrong, mister. I'm trying not to. So there it is. You know, temptation is there. You know, it's a little story, an easy little story that enticing that cookie. I mean, I would love that cookie. But those temptations are there. Everywhere we turn, there's a temptation. And I have another little story, and this is about a little boy that we all know. He's not a little boy anymore, but my mom told me this story. And his name's Virgil. I don't know if you know him. But when he was a little boy, my grandma was a very nice lady, but she was very stern. And you minded her. And he knew the rules. And he was over at his grandma's house. And his grandma loved him, and anything he did was right. You know, us grandparents know that, you know, we love our little grandchildren. And but they had a rule that if he was doing something wrong, she would shake her head, and he was to stop. So he was sitting there in the room, and at his grandma's house, he was by the wall, and there was a piece of plaster coming off the wall. And so he started to pick the plaster off her wall. And his mom shook her head. And he looked, and he just kept picking. She shook her head again. He kept picking the plaster. So probably about the third or fourth time, he just kept doing it. And so when they got in the car, she said, "Now, Virgil, you know that when I shake my head, you are to stop. You're stop doing those things that you're not supposed to do." And she said, "When you get home, you're going to be spanked. You're going to be punished." And he said, "Spank me now, Mom." He said, "I thought it was worth it, but it wasn't." You know, and isn't that it? Isn't that it? We, as temptations are out there, and you think, "Oh, this is going to be good." And afterwards, you know it was wrong. And you know that you shouldn't have done it. But those temptations are so strong. So what do? You know, we have that avenue. God has given us that avenue. We're gonna stumble. Unfortunately, we stumble to temptations. But God gives us that avenue of repentance. You know, we all know what we're supposed to do. But sometimes when we are tempted, we make the wrong choice. You know, we may say something hurtful to someone. You know, it might be at the time you're in rage and you say the wrong thing. You know, you might hurt somebody's feelings. You might be led to do something that is against God's commandments. You know, we're not perfect. We can't be perfect, but we must strive for perfection. We must strive to do what's right. We must look to the scriptures. We must remember, we must know the scriptures so that we know. We can build that closeness to God and know the right thing to do, the right thing in our lives. And as you know, if you've heard me before, I always have to have some little visual. And so I brought a couple visuals here today just to show some temptation. The first thing is a nice veggie tray. You know. And actually, vegetables are good. You know, we know God blessed us with these vegetables, and they are good. They're good in a dip, really good. You know, but here's these vegetables. You know, really good vegetables. And then I also brought chocolate chip cookies. And they're good. Good in moderation. And I'm going to tell you, I am type 2 diabetic. And so I know in my heart, I know which I should eat. I mean, do you know which one I should eat and which one I should eat lots of? I could actually eat lots of this and be fine. And this, I could maybe eat one. But when those other 17 cookies are sitting there, I'm going to be tempted. And we can't, in our house, unfortunately, I have a sweet tooth. Sweets are I love them. And I will eat them. And so we can't have them around. We can't, if we go to a dinner Sunday and we bring part of the cake home, you know, let's say there's half the cake home, then I'll eat a row. And then I'll eat a piece and I'll think, oh, Becky might see that I ate a piece, so I'll eat the rest of the next row. And I just keep going. You know, so in life is temptations. So what do? We try alternatives. We try things that will be good for me, but still my sweet tooth can be helped. Not as good as I would want with all the chocolate chip cookies, but we got to do that. And so in our lives, what do we need to do? You know, if we have those temptations, do we just go ahead and go along and just let them be there and say, you know, I can handle myself. I can handle myself, and these temptations can be all around me, and I'm not going to do the wrong thing. But what are you going to do? Are you going to do the wrong thing? You know, our brother Don preached at the East Local a couple months ago, and he mentioned about this man that he was a businessman, I believe, and he was, we went to a hotel, and this was extreme, but he asked them to take that TV out of his room. Because he knew he was there by himself, what things could be on that TV that he would be tempted. And he knew that he would be tempted to do the wrong thing. So he asked for them to be removed, the TV to be removed. You know, so God says, flee from temptation. You know, we need to make the right decisions. We need to choose to follow God's teachings. You know, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, there are many stories about people struggling with temptation. You know, starting with Genesis, with temptations of Adam and Eve, and continuing throughout the scriptures. You know, I had a pleasure of singing with about 9 guys from the church. You know, I had, and most of them, actually all but me, were from the Temple Lot local. But we sang the Holy Bible. You know, we sang 20 songs depicting, you know, stories from the Bible. But what was so good there too is I learned to know these guys better. You know, I didn't know Jacob, you know, and now I knew he was a good guy, but I know he is a good guy. He's a great guy, you know, and he has a love for the Lord. You know, so it was a blessing to be in this singing group. But I had a solo line in one of the songs, and it was the story of David and Bathsheba. And let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. This is probably my longest reading, but bear with me here. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass, after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David rose from off his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. And she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, go down to thy house, wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thou soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said unto Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him. And he made him drunk, And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, sent it by the hand of Uriah, and he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass that when Joab observed the city, and he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were, and the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. And so because of David's lusts and temptations, this led him to commit sin, adultery with Bathsheba, and caused her husband to be killed. You know, he was hoping he'd get Uriah to go to his house, kind of cover up this scheme, what had happened. But it didn't happen that way. I closed my book here because I was going to read two more verses. But it caused him to commit sin, adultery with Bathsheba, and it caused him to have this man, Uriah, die. And I'm going to, or die in battle. And I'm going to go back to, I'm going to read 26 and 27. It says, "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." And there it is. You know, David was a person that the Lord loved. You know, he had a pure heart. He did many good things, but he was led into temptation. He was led into temptation, and then it just kept on going where he caused a man's death. And the Lord was displeased. We must please the Lord. You know, when God has given us, you know, if we, you know, here's this man, here's David that was led into temptation, did these horrible things. But he's given us that avenue of repentance, you know, and David did repent unto God. And I want to read in Psalm 51. And this is about David. You know, it is and at the top of this, before the verse starts, it says, "To the chief magician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." And it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressions transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the guiltiness of God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You know, God is there with us always. You know, he's there. He's given us this avenue of repentance. You know, no matter what we do, if we can turn to God and ask him, repent unto him of those things, and start our life anew. Start our life, you know, when we're baptized. You know, we go down in the water, we're washed clean of our sins. And you would think, once we're up, everything's good. But those temptations are out there, you know. And so we must constantly seek God. We must, you know, the Lord wants us to do good. He wants us to follow his commandments. You know, we must seek him, repent of our sins, change our ways to follow his commandments. And that's the big thing, change. You know, don't just keep doing it and repenting of it and just keep doing it. We must change our ways, follow his commandments. We need to learn to yield not to temptation from the example that Jesus shows us in Luke. So I'm going to turn to Luke, Luke 4. So Luke chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him in a season. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the reign round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. You know, so we must seek the Lord. We must repent of our sins, change our ways, follow his commandments. We need to learn to yield not to temptation from the examples that Jesus has given us. You know, we must draw upon the examples that Jesus had set for us. You know, Satan tempted Christ to seek immediate gain through unprincipled action. He wanted Christ to turn bread into stones, to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple, and to fall down and worship him. You know, in every case, Jesus turned Satan back by quoting scripture. You know, so let's follow his example. You know, do we know our scriptures? You know, I can tell you, when I was called to be a minister, I know much more now. You know, I needed to apply myself. You know, did I know the scriptures? You know, I had grown up in the gospel, knew some, But we must apply ourselves. We must study the scriptures. We must, when we come to church, we must follow along, you know, to learn the things that God has given, you know, each one of us as ministers to bring to you. You know, it's, you know, there's a temptation of, you know, you see who the speaker is that day, and maybe you don't like, maybe it's like you say, oh, it's David Rudd, and I don't like his style. You know, I don't like, you know, I just don't like the way he presents things. But, you know, each one of us isn't saying what we want to say. We're saying what God wants us to hear and wants us to do. You know, many times the preacher will say, and it's the same with me, you know, this sermon is for me. You know, day to day, you know, here we are, temptations of life. You know, do I, because I'm a minister, do I not have temptations? Oh, no. I have many, we all have those same temptations, you know, different things that the devil is trying to get us to buy. But we must be strong. We must know our gospel. We must follow God. We need to have that same diligence in our preparation of seeking God in our lives by learning the gospel through studying and building. You know, as we study, as we pray to God, we're going to build that close relationship with God. You know, we will build where we can communicate. He can communicate with us. You know, as I said at the first, you know, we need to let him guide us in our life and direct us in our lives. You know, if it's that simple that we're talking to God, he will guide us. He will guide us in the things that we should do, you know, through our prayers, and he will help us to follow his commandments. You know, we must trust him to lead us in our lives, you know, and we must be prepared. And I'm going to read in Ephesians, we can find that guidance we need for our preparation. And this is one everybody knows too, but we need to read it again. Ephesians 6. And I'm going to start with verse 10, Ephesians 6. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then I'm going to drop down to 23. It says, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith for God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You know, so we must love him in sincerity and humbleness. You know, we must be prepared, be ready, so that we don't fall into temptations of the world. You know, we must pray for his guidance in our lives. And, you know, I think the big thing is being humble. Humble yourselves to God. You know, we can't do anything on our own. You know, we have goals to do things, but we need God with us to help us through our life and to direct us. Let's turn to Alma. This is on page 429, Alma 16. Alma 16, verse 218. Therefore, may God grant it to you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you may begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over your flock. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your households, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your field, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. You know, so we must pray to God, develop that closeness. You know, it doesn't let you off. You know, you're praying physically, but it says, it keeps going, it says, you know, let your hearts be full, drawn out into prayer and to him continually for the welfare of your souls. You know, do we give God our all? You know, in our lives, do we place him first? You know, I have another story here. And this story, it's called God and Middle C. And it's an old story. It's an old story, but it's about when Lloyd Douglas, author of many novels, attended college. He lived in a boarding house. A retired, wheelchair-bound music professor resided on the first floor. Each morning, Douglas would stick his head in the door of the teacher's apartment and ask the same question. Well, what's the good news? The old man would pick up his tuning fork, tap it on the other side of the wheelchair, and say, that's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C. You know, an even greater source of comfort than knowing the constancy of middle C is knowing the constancy of God. You know, I think it's not off the mark to say that only because of God's constant, that God is constant, is middle C constant. You know, we may rest in this. God is unchanging, unmovable, and totally in charge. In him, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Middle C was so yesterday, today, and will be forever. But it's because of the splendidness of the nature of God. You know, so we all know, I think anybody that's taken piano lessons or sang, you know, where's middle C? Middle C on the piano is pretty much in the middle. You know, the middle of the piano. So, you know, we must put God in the center of our lives. Just as middle C is in the center of the piano, God needs to be in the center of our lives. And we need to add all of our other duties around him. You know, we're all busy, you know, but, and so many times we're trying to, we have our life and we're running here and there. We're doing this and this and this. And then we try and fit God in every so often, you know, keep God in there. But we need to be reverse. We need to put God the focus in our lives. Let all those other things will fit in if we'll put God first in our lives. I always like to, I love to sing. Darren loves to sing. But I always have to read a song. You know, there's so many good things, so many testimonies from the songs in our hymnal. And so turn to 362. And you can probably guess before you get to it what it's going to be, since our title of the sermon. But it's Yield Not to Temptation. And I'm going to read the verses. It says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdued. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. In the last verse, to him that o'ercometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. And the chorus is, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And it's all there. You know, look to God, and he will bless us. He will carry us. Look to him for the answers in our lives. You know, we might have so many things that drag us down, but focus your life on God, and he will carry us through in whatever we do. You know, we need to trust in God. Let him lead us in our lives. We need to ask him to help us. If we do, he will carry us through the temptations of life. You know, Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And I have a poem here. This poem is by Helen Steiner Rice. It says, it's titled, The Way to God. It says, if my days are untroubled and my heart always light, would I seek the fair land where there is no night? If I never grew weary with the weight of my load, would I search for God's peace at the end of the road? If I never knew sickness and never felt pain, would I reach for a hand to help and sustain? If I walked not with sorrow and lived without loss, would my soul seek sweet solace at the foot of the cross? If all I desired was mine day by day, would I kneel before God and earnestly pray? If God sent no winter to freeze me with fear, would I yearn for the warmth of a spring every year? I ask myself this, and the answer is plain. In my life, if my life were all pleasure, and I never knew pain, I seek God less often and need him much less, for God's sought more often in times of distress. And no one knows God or sees him as plain as those who have met him on the pathway of pain. You know, beautiful poem, you know, and if you take it to heart, you know, we are blessed in trusting in our God that, you know, we have troubles in life, but God will see us through those troubles. You know, we have joy. We have more joy if we seek our Lord, do those things. Let's turn to Mosiah 2, and this is on page 221. Mosiah 2 on page 221, and I have three verses. I'm going to start with 21. It says, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfast in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice, be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him who created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You know, so we need to seek God in humbleness, in humility, and he will bless us. You know, we need to have faith that he will answer our prayers. Our focus must be on serving the Lord, letting him guide us. We can fight temptation if we will follow God's commandments in our lives. Let's turn to Alma on page 441, Alma 17. So this is Alma 17, page 441. I'm going to start with verse 65, and it says, and now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves, to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. There it is. You know, teach to know that we can withstand these temptations and that their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, with the faith of God, you know, all things are possible. God will bless us. So we must have faith to avoid temptation. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. For such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn the wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when you risest in the morning, let your heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up in the last day. You know, my hope is that we might be diligent in serving God, that we will be lifted up in the last day, eternal salvation with our God. When, you know, a challenge of the East Local, you know, is, you know, here we are going from here into the world. We're going to be out there weak in the world through with temptations, with, and how are we going to act? You know, let God's light shine through you, the things you do. Friday night, I was working at Macy's, and I was helping. There was he was probably mid-20s. He was in there with his parents, and he goes to another church, and the pastor had asked him to be up front with him, and he said, but you're going to have to spiff up a little bit. And he just meant just a little bit. He didn't have to wear a suit. When I said I wear a suit every Sunday, he was like, you wear a suit every Sunday? He said, that's just the old people in the, you know, and he said a different, you know, the people in this one corner, you know. But he was very nice, great guy. We fixed him up with a sport coat. He was going to wear jeans with a sport coat and fixed him up with a tie and a shirt. And, you know, he asked me what church I went to. Here it was, wherever we are, you know, here I am working my job and someone gives us that opportunity. And we were at the cash register and he said, you know, is there anybody in your life, is there anybody that I could pray for you? And so then I told him about my sister and her battle with cancer. And I said, yeah, you could pray for my sister. You know, she just went through this chemo. She is going to find results this week, you know. And so he said, I'll pray for her. And then we finished up. And then as he left, he yelled across. He says, I remember your sister, Denise. And as I go home tonight, I'm going to pray for her. You know, so, you know, there's a light. You know, how can we step out of that comfort zone that we can take God with us in the things that we do? Let's see. Almost done. So I want to turn back to where we started. Where we started, and this time you can go to it if you want. It's Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and I'm going to back up just a little bit. Matthew 6, I'm going to start with verse 6. And it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard from their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for their Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, so I'm going to add, you know, my challenge is always let your light shine out there. But I want to add the challenge today. And we might do it. If we do it, great. If we don't, I mean, we might already do it. But anybody that doesn't do it, add in your prayer when you start your prayer and asking God to guide your day. Guide your day. And what it says in verse 16, say, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we need God with us always. We need to start our day. We need to end our day with that thought of his help to lead us not into temptations, because we're going to have those temptations of the world. You know, remember all the other things. Pray for the sick. Pray for, thank God for his blessings. Ask for forgiveness. Do all those things. But please add this one verse that God will guide us in our lives. You know, we need to pray with humbleness and faith to God, knowing that he can protect us and that he will lead us away from temptation. So I thank you.